Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Fast Money does kick off right now, and we are live from the NASDAQ market site. I am Brian Sullivan. I'm in for Melissa Lee, and your traders on the desk tonight are Tim Seymour, Brian Kelly, Dan Nathan, and Guy Adami. Tonight, DC chaos hitting a fever pitch. The government shutdown is over temporarily. 800,000 federal workers will get paid for the first time in a month. But the drama may actually just be getting started. We'll tell you what it might all mean for your markets and money. That's ahead. But first, we've got to begin with Earnings 13. You heard me right. It's like the movie Ocean's 13, except less Clooney, more Adami. That's a good trade. I'd trade it, not fade that. Yeah, it's Earnings 13 because there are 13 Dow stocks reporting earnings next week. Companies ranging from Apple to Boeing to Exxon to Pfizer. So should you be trading these lucky 13 or maybe fading them, these mega cap stocks into earnings? And what does it mean for the broader market? Guy Adami, George Clooney, we begin with you. Apple stock up nearly 7%.
Uncanny resemblance.
Very uncanny resemblance.
Both welcome, Brian. Gray hair.
Big by on Lake way, Como.
That's a brilliant lead for the show. Really is genius.
I had nothing to do with it, but thank you.
No, I'm just
Apple up 7% in the past month. Earnings
well,
next week.
There's going to be a lot of consternation on the back of this, but I will say you fade Apple into earnings. That's like that graphic.
Oh, I thought they were saying you're wrong.
No,
that's the faded symbol. Right. And I'll give you the reasons why. On January 2nd, thank you. On January 2nd, when Apple gave their miserable guidance, the stock closed at basically 157.92. Traded down to 142.5. It is now round-tripped. We're right back where we started. But quite frankly, the data hasn't gotten any better. In some regards, it's gotten worse. So I'm not sure what they're going to report on the 29th, but I think the stock has gotten the benefit of a stock market that's rallied. Probably an oversold condition. I think you faded into earnings.
See, I trade it, and I trade it because everything that has happened to Apple, the rest of the market has actually overcome. So if you think about Apple being at least an indictment on growth around the world, certainly growth in terms of the semiconductor equipment and really U.S. growth, and yet the rest of the market has come to terms with a Fed that is very much on hold, that probably we priced recession in, where we may be slowing, but we're still 2.5% in this GDP. Apple has been under-supported at these levels, at these fundamentals, and at this valuation. It's very attractive.
So I just want to make one point, though, that, you know, this is how the year started out with their pre-announcement, right, on January 2nd, after the stock had already been murdered over the last few months. And I would just say, I don't think you have to trade it or fade it here. I think you wait and see what they say on the call.
That's not the game, though, Dan.
I'm kind of getting right in the middle. I'm like Damon's character in the Ocean.
You just 13. turned in Chutes and Ladders into Candyland.
But here's the thing. I think this is a really important thought process as you think about next week and all of these earnings after we've had such a big run. On some of these ones that are pretty controversial, maybe you don't have to trade it in front of it. Maybe you don't have to step in front of it because, you know, Tim Cook has already done this tour. He did a media tour after the results or whatever. It's a lot of information out. So to me, I think the risk is to the downside.
So, well, I mean, I have to agree with Dan on this one. Like, you know, this game is all about risk reward. Not the game trade it or fade it, but the actual game we play every day.
Now, trading, there's a game called risk, too, actually.
Well, yeah, all right. There's all kinds of games you can play out. Bottom line is, this to me is just a no-touch out there. I mean, we don't know what he's going to say. We know that the news in China hasn't gotten better.
What's
we
the
know
most
that the loss has been,
hold on, BK, BK, hold on, Tim. But this is, what's the most important thing Tim Cook has to say?
He has to say that there's some growth out there. He has to give
Can
us
we
some
not,
kind of...
Everybody freaked out about the China story a couple weeks ago. Can we forget that the previous three quarters ago, they had the best growth ever in China?
Well, not only that, that doesn't mean it's going to come back.
No, but the
China's
point
got
is,
worse since then.
It took about the market about 180 days to go from China's red hot to China's dead.
Not only that, I mean, listen to Nike, listen to some of these other companies. We act like, you know, Who Sunk My Battleship, by the way, was also another great game. And in Apple's case, do you really think Tim Cook, who had a chance to guide before numbers and basically gave us a lot of bad news, is going to have screwed up again by coming in with completely, you know, having missed these numbers?
No, but by the same token, the idea that he would change his tune pretty dramatically in 4 weeks is probably not a great bet either. So to me, what I'm just saying is, like, digest the news. Yeah. See where it goes. It's still down 30% from its all-time high.
important stocks will go a little bit long in this. Is there kind of a Huawei effect with Apple, where maybe there was sort of a rebellion against U.S. products in China because of what happened with the Huawei CFO being, I wonder, no, I'm not saying ignore the quarter.
No, Jim Cramer's
brought that up as
well.
But is there sort of an asterisk on the quarter?
On the guidance or this quarter coming up?
On the 90 days prior to this. Does Apple get a little bit of a pass no matter what happens because there was a bunch of other things happening?
Fair. I mean, I think that's a fair point. Roger Maris has an asterisk. Why shouldn't Apple have an asterisk? But in my opinion, Maris still has the record and Apple's still Apple. But with that said, I don't think there's not a lot they can say, in my opinion.
Bobby Bonds has an asterisk, too.
As says Sammy Sosa.
Barry.
Also Barry. Bobby Bonds. Sure. I mean, he did okay.
My point is this. Fine. I think you've run from 142.5 back to 158 where this whole thing started. I say faded. Move to the
All
next
right, now from phones to planes, Boeing up 23% in the past month. Let's go now to Ted Seymour.
Sure, you can call me Ted. That's okay, Billy. Bottom line here is you have a company that has recently given you guidance on the 737 MAX deliveries, which are much better than expected. By the way, that was the one plane that people worried about China. Looks like China's still in there buying. Most importantly, of all the companies that are going to report, if there's a company that's been most predictable in terms of their free cash flow and their ability to generate EPS growth, it's Boeing. By the way, at 365 to 375, major breakout level. So maybe you miss it on this one, but I think ultimately this stock is actually set to break.
So that's that. That price level is what concerns me because I would fade it here against that 370, 375 level. We've had a tremendous run. Benefit of the stock market rally here. Why not take a little bit off the table and then just wait and see? I don't think you need to be really aggressive with Boeing here, particularly when all their growth or most of their growth is coming from emerging markets.
Exactly.
And that's what you need
if
to be worried about.
If we're worried, Dan, about iPhone sales in China. Shouldn't we be a lot more worried about $200 million airplanes?
So let me tell you, and I know we're going to talk about this in the next block. I think what happened today in Washington, the president caving the way he did, is actually going to empower the Chinese. I don't think we're going to see a deal anytime soon. I think that they realize that this guy is on the political ropes here, and why would you strike a deal that they want to strike right now? The companies like Boeing, I think, are right in the crosshairs of that trade.
All right, well, planes need fuel. Fuel requires oil. Exxon, up 9% in the past month. Brian Kelly, trade it or fade the XOP?
So in this game, I'm a fader of this. XOM. I'm a fader of this as well. And primarily, this is more of a view on oil than necessarily on Exxon, but they do trade in lockstep. And if you look at crude oil, somewhere around $55 seems to be major, major resistance. We've had this bounce off. And despite what happened in D.C. today, we still have a slowing global economy, which should not be so great for oil. So I am a fader of ExxonMobil.
Even though it's down 18% in the past year and oil prices
but
have stabilized
a bit. We just said it's up so much, right? So
Past year, it's still well down. Okay. And oil prices, anybody?
I'll trade right with oil.
I'm going to go right to trade it because I like to hear the little ding-dong bell because that's better than that buzzer thing. So
well, by the way, it's not my show. I'm just keeping Mel
Seat
warm.
Show tonight.
They got to change the graphics because it makes it, or the sounds, it makes it sound like if you buzz it, it's wrong. To your point.
Right, exactly.
Just
that's what confused
opinion.
Me.
Change the sound. See, fade me.
Right.
Well, in this case, he is wrong. So anyway, keep
it's
going.
Like on the price is right.
Keep going.
Right.
Going. That's
listen, in the summer of 2014, ExxonMobil was a $105 stock, and it sold off. You had a subsequent bounce. You've had four or five of those moves over the course of the last 4 years. I understand what Brian is saying. This isn't a downtrend. However, you've seen this stock bounce. I happen to think it will bounce after earnings. I think there's a very good chance you see it trade up to $78, at which time you can fade it, Brian. I hope you're having a nice conversation with whomever you're having a conversation with. But that, my friend, is why I would trade ExxonMobil.
Conversation's always right in here.
Yeah, no, I could see you. The wheels were spinning.
Voices in your head. Anyway.
All right. Too much of another kind of oil, and you might need Lipitor for cholesterol. That brings us now to Pfizer. I tried to make the transition. I failed. Dan Nathan, trade or fade Pfizer?
You know, I think you trade this one into earnings, and I'll tell you why. This stock broke out above 40 in the summer around August, and it broke out of a three-year range here, and there was just a lot of valuation support. There was a lot of excitement about, a few different drugs. I think it sold off in sympathy with, like, Bristol, that bad data that they recently got. But to me, this is kind of best of breed. It's a really cheap cheap stock is trading at the low end of that few month range that it's been in right here. So I think you trade this one with poor sentiment down 7% on the year into the earnings.
That's the point, right? There's just such great risk reward here. It's right on the 200-day moving average. You know that $40 is your support level, which also can be your stop-out level. So I can risk 64 cents to see if this thing goes higher. I'll do that all day long and plus on Sunday.
I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going to trade it, and it's the exact same argument that I make for the market. The reason Pfizer is outperforming is because we are in a nine-month period where there's volatility, there's a predictable balance sheet. It's a company that actually is paying you a nice dividend. That's why it was outperforming. Remember, this stock did nothing for the previous 3 years, largely. Remember, so I actually think in this market, again, that's sideways with the Fed next week,
you're double trading this thing, huh?
I'm trading it again.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, you're gonna buy it, and then once you're done, you're gonna buy it again. Yeah.
I'll trade you guys. I'll out-trade y'all.
Remember the show, The Joker's Wild?
Yeah,
it's a great game.
A triple.
Okay. And a triple. Well, we are about to have rarely seen and a quadruple, because you're traded, Brian. Tim's. I'm a trader as well. So Joker, and a quadruple. I traded in earnings. I do think it sold off on the back of Bristol. I think that was wrong.
Hold on a second, buddy. It's not a quadruple. It's a triple. I'm actually fading that stock.
Said trade it.
Well, then this game's confusing. Now I'm now acting like you, because the bottom line is my point is that Pfizer has rallied in the face of a weak market. If the market has found its footing, this is a fade.
It's like that write the check. It's like that write the check game on Price is Right. Nobody can figure it out.
That's
right for the difference. You know, anyway. By the way, nobody can do the triple Lindy. It's the most dangerous dive ever invented.
All right.
Why not? Let's have a bonus round, because of all the stocks that we just talked about, do you know which has made the most money? McDonald's. The last 6 months, it's up 15%, well outperforming Apple and the others. In fact, Mickey D's up 8% in 1 month. Trade it or fade it. Anybody?
Throw it out there.
Trade it.
Sell it.
Fade it.
Wait, what do we have? Trade?
Fade.
Tim?
Absolutely trade this thing. I'm
3-1. Why?
Are you sure about that?
Why are you the outlier?
You're positive.
Why are you the Whopper, not the Big Mac?
Again, this comes back to I am.
What'd you call him?
He called me the Whopper. That's actually kind of funny.
It's a Kid & Play song reference, Tim.
Sure it is.
People don't know who Kid & Play is at home, but.
Yeah. Great hair on Kid & Play, by the way.
Was that Kid
nonetheless.
Or Play? Who had it? Kid or Play?
Yep. That's right. Kid or Play had it.
All right.
McDonald's, you fade it.
You fade McDonald's, 3-1.
Too much of a rally.
Let's play the buzzer for BK. On his lack of knowledge.
What happened?
There it is.
90s hip-hop artist. All right, we are just getting started. As you sit in traffic, it is not just big Dow stocks reporting earnings next week. You've got tech leviathans, mammoths. Facebook and Amazon, they're on deck as well. And the traders think one will be a winner, while the other could get left in the dust. They will explain why. Plus, a wild day in Washington. The shutdown is over temporarily, but don't get complacent. The drama in D.C. may just be getting started. We'll let you know what it means for the market and what Wall Street may be most worried about, as always. Live from Times Square in New York, an urban splendor. We're back right after this.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All right, welcome back to Fast Money. Really was a crazy and a wild day in D.C., but it was a good one for 800,000 furloughed federal workers who will finally get paid after a month. We do have a deal to end the government shutdown, at least temporarily. Let's get now to Eamon Javers, who is live at the White House with more on this story. Eamon.
Yeah, Brian, a tough day for the president politically today. The morning began with a pre-dawn raid by the FBI, arrest and indictment of one of the president's closest former political advisors, and then later in the day ended with the president walking back from his pledge to secure funding for a border wall in any continuing resolution bill. Ultimately, White House aides conceding that the bill that's passed the House and the Senate as of this afternoon does not include any funding for a border wall, despite the president's demands. Here's how the president discussed the border wall in the Rose Garden this afternoon, a striking change of tone from his rhetoric on the campaign trail and in days leading up to this decision today.
We do not need 2,000 miles of concrete wall from sea to shiny sea. We never did. We never proposed that. We never wanted that, because we have barriers at the border where natural structures are as good as anything that we can build.
So the president insisting there that he doesn't need a full border wall across the entire border. In some places, the natural barriers, canyons, mountains, and the like will be enough to deter any migrants from coming across the border. Now, where does that leave us? We've got a three-week deal here that goes until February the 15th. It's what they call a clean continuing resolution. Negotiations are going to continue on a border wall. Two White House aides told me and a small group of reporters this afternoon that they have received assurances from Democrats that they are prepared to vote for border wall funding in the wake of the government reopening. But the White House officials here would not identify any Democrats who've made such a promise. So we'll wait and see whether that's in fact the case or not. But ultimately, a big political climb down for the president on the border wall and on a day where his political advisor, former political advisor Roger Stone, was raided and arrested by the FBI.
Brian. Eamon, can I ask you a mechanical? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know it's been a busy day. A mechanical question that's important about 800,000 families. Today was supposed to be the payday for the federal workers. Obviously, that passed. Do we have any idea about the mechanics of when they will get paid? Can they run a special payroll this weekend or next week? Or will they have to wait two more weeks to then get three pay periods back?
You know, the White House is not offering any answers on that right now. A White House official told me that they believe that within 4 or 5 days, the federal workers will get paychecks. But the official did not know if those paychecks would just be the current pay period or whether that would include all of the back pay. And the official didn't know whether the weekend days count in that 4 or 5 days. So not clear at all when those workers will get paid, but they should get a check of some kind next week. Also not clear when all the national parks and the rest of the government that's been shut down will reopen. No word from the White House on any of that just yet as well.
All right, Eamon Javers. Eamon, thank you very much. We appreciate it. All right, guys, what do you think? Is there any kind of, listen, it's a big deal for the 800,000 furloughed federal workers who are going to get paid eventually. They're going to get most of that back. Contractors, though, they lost money. The hotels, people probably won't come back. Restaurants. You don't get that income back. You know, you don't go re-eat. Is there kind of an economic trade or story around the reopening of the government?
I just think for volatility, we now have, in the next month, we have two deadlines that we rush up against these deadlines. We have February 15th, again, to see if there's going to be another shutdown. And then we have this March 1st deadline. So to me, I just think, the trade.
Debt ceiling coming up in March.
So we have all these manufactured deadlines. For markets, they just don't like that. It just creates a lot of uncertainty. So to
I know it's not options action yet. It will be. So do you buy the VIX, though?
Well, I mean, vol's kind of low right here.
I mean, the market told you today that this really isn't going to have much of an impact. We were up 200 points on the Dow or so. This news came out. Nothing happened, right? So this is just one minor thing. To Dan's point, we still have many other things to be concerned about and many other potholes out there.
Yeah, but, first of all, I think the most important thing for the market today was not, first of all, the market didn't rally on this news of actually a reprieve and maybe getting a deal done, maybe not. By the way, as a guy that almost didn't make a flight back to LaGuardia, and if not for the grace of some friends, got me back to New York, it is creating problems in this country. But the bottom line here is the most important thing is the Federal Reserve. The market rallied today on the back of the balance sheet of the Fed not being $50 billion a month. Let's be clear. The government shutdown is a terrible disgrace, I think, to our country and to the people that are out of work. But that is not
affecting
the underlying market.
But for our viewers, the Federal Reserve balance sheet is more important
absolutely.
Than the shutdown. All right. For more of the D.C. drama and what it means to you, your money, and the market, head over to CNBC.com. You're watching Fast Money on CNBC, and here's what else is coming up.
That's how all of Wall Street is feeling ahead of a number of key tech earnings next week. But don't be scared. The traders would tell you the one name they think will be the big winner. Plus,
can I get a cannabis triple bente?
Maybe not. But you won't believe what the CEO of Starbucks just said about the cannabis craze. There's much more Fast Money right after this.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Methane management is a critical part of achieving a lower carbon future. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. They're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. And they've trialed over 13 advanced detection technologies, including drones and satellites. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential.
With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Can I get a cannabis triple vente?
Well, you know, Jim, you can't get a cannabis triple vente today. And certainly, but you know, we're well aware of what's happening around CBD, THC, and all the trends in the industry. But, you know, we're staying focused on the beverage innovation that we're driving. And right now, it's all about Nitro.
All right, that was Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson speaking with, of course, Jim Cramer on the network earlier today about the budding trend of cannabis-infused consumer products. The craze really continuing. Piper Jaffray seeing more upside for Canopy Growth, raising their price target to 60 from 40. That set the stock up nearly 10% higher to 48.48. But the rally has been flowering all year, with Canopy up more than 80%. Cronos up 55%. Aurora Cannabis and Aphria are both higher than they were last year, up 20%. So, let's be blunt. Can investors
I see what you did there.
Buy these stocks, or will they go up in smoke? Tim Seymour, you're the pot expert.
Yes, and there's a lot of puns, and despite the puns, Canopy has got the pole position in the industry for a lot of different reasons. However, the upgrade by Piper today is after the stock before today's move was up about 83%. Interesting also that they're moving their multiple from 11 times EV to sales to 18 times, when frankly, the valuations for the entire industry are coming down. If you look at the publicly traded markets year over year, while the industry's gone through amazing, amazing growth, headlines, legislation, et cetera, valuations are coming down. So I think Canopy is a great company. I think it's a name you can actually go out there and own because of their balance sheet, because of their diversified exposure. I'm puzzled by how people are doing valuations at this time in the market. This stock's now up 93%
valuations
with a 90-day RSI.
Do valuations matter, or this is the railroad sector in 1890?
You know what? Valuations do matter, and ultimately, valuations always matter. Now, we realize that people are buying a gold rush, and they're buying gold. Like, look, Piper said the market anywhere short-term is $15 to $50 billion, and it could be $500 billion. People, and by the way, I agree with the excitement. You know I do. But I think on valuations, it does matter. And I think a lot of people are holding stuff right now that may never trade that high.
GW Pharma is a place, at least I somewhat understand. I mean, Tim's the axe in the space. But GW Pharma makes sense. JP Morgan initiated a couple weeks ago, beginning of the month, 135 price target. They reported beginning of February. They just filed a mixed shelf for an indeterminate amount. We'll see what happens with that. But if you're looking for somebody to sort of establish in the space without a ridiculous valuation, it's GWPH.
GWPH. Anybody have an opinion on the space?
Well, on the space in general, I think everybody should have a little piece of it. If it is the railroad sector in the 1890s, or if it is the
next
sector.
But does that mean you got to buy them all because you don't know in 20 years who's going to
exist?
Well,
listen, if you're an expert like Tim, great. Then go for it and dig them apart. If you're not an expert, then just buy a whole whole basket of them.
Or buy none of them. I mean, let's be frank. These things are moving the way they're moving because there's massive scarcity value. There's massive uncertainty. This is the big market. And if anyone wants to put a total addressable market of $500 billion, seller.
I would just say that the basket of four or five of the big multi-caps is not a bad way to do it, but I agree with you, Danny. I mean, you also don't need to buy them right now.
Yeah. Guy, if you partake and then have a Starbucks, does it balance out?
I've never smoked in my life, Brian, and we're light on time, so I'd final trade.
All right, it's time now for the final trade. Let's go around the horn, Tim.
So I had a little trouble trade it or fade it. No problem with this one. I'm going to trade Boeing. I think their numbers are going to be solid, and I think the company is first class.
BK.
You know, a couple weeks ago, people were buying steel stocks because they thought a big wall was going to be built. Doesn't look like it might be built right away, so you sell SLX.
Facebook, stick around. We're cautiously optimistic.
Stick around. Interesting.
For the OA.
Nice piece.
Brian, thanks for hosting. It's always a pleasure. Big OA coming up. And Brian knows this, the other Brian.
Yeah.
Gold, funny things going on. Newmont Mining.
I like that call.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That deal they made recently.
Well, just gold in general.
Big show coming up.
That does it for us. See you back here. Options Action is next.
Big show coming up.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.